Hey Trojans, and welcome back to General Education. I'm your host, Kevin Gramling. Let's get right into this week's latest highlights. Boba is coming to USC Village. Yobaseyo Superette is set to open its doors and start selling boba tea in the fall. In a conversation with the Daily Trojan, founder James Choi expressed the importance of being prepared for a business venture like this. This is not his first time opening a cafe, though. He's also the founder of Cafe Dolce. The cafe scene is already very saturated in the area around USC. Starbucks alone has 4 locations on or near campus, and Dolce is a USC Village staple. There are also already a few other boba places like Pot of Cha and It's Boba Time. But Choi said he hopes that he can set his business apart from the competition with its hospitality. Choi said, "The thing that differentiates us is you can't please everybody, but you can be hospitable to everybody. Every year, we have thousands of new students that come in at a really pivotal moment in their lives. This is our opportunity to show people what hospitality can, and hopefully, should be." In other news, USG comes to a budget compromise on Tuesday after weeks of debate in the Student Senate. These debates have centered on funding towards the concerts committee. This bill requires that each USC concert needs to have at least one student performer booked. Booking student performers costs way less than the artists we typically have at USC concerts. The Senate's reasoning behind the bill is that the concerts committee will spend the money saved with the student performers on even bigger headliners, hopefully pleasing everyone. USC's Department of Political Sciences and International Relations is fighting to keep the beloved Center for Active Learning in International Relations, or CALIS, funded. These funding concerns came up after a merger between the School of International Relations and the Department of Political Science. This merger officially brought the School of International Relations under Dornsife, College of Letters, Arts, and Sciences. Dornsife withdrew CALIS's funding before the School of Political Science and International Relations could assume responsibility for the center. The School of Political Science and International Relations is negotiating with Dornsife to continue the center and its programs. We sat down with news writer Nathan Elias to discuss his story on the subject and his experience while writing it. Thank you for coming in, Nathan. How did you discover this story?
Yeah, thanks so much for the opportunity to have me on. Basically, what happens with most news section articles is we have like a Google Sheet. And so all the editors and even if some staff writers pitch articles, that goes on the Google Sheet. So around 2 weeks ago, I went on the Google Sheet. I scrolled through all the different pitches. And this article caught my eye because I didn't really know about what CALIS was, which is the organization which had kind of a funding issue. And so I didn't know about the organization, and I thought that this situation was kind of a big deal for that organization. So I wanted to see first what I could learn about it and then what I could do to get the word out.
Can you explain a little bit about the merger that happened, which kind of spurred of all of this?
Mm-hmm. So the origins is unclear. From what I got, kind of whispers and suggestions of merging what was previously independently the School of International Relations, which was focused on international relations, and the School of Political Science, which is, of course, focused on political science. But then closer to 2019, some things started getting finalized. Faculty were notified. Some people were supportive, but some faculty were kind of worried that merging these two schools would kind of lose the focus and individualized support and kind of system that they had built up until that point. After the merger happened, like I said, there was a letter to the Daily Trojan. Some of the old directors of SIR were still concerned about potentially losing, you know, focus and losing resources. Faculty were worried that the merger would kind of cut support for SIR, School of International Relations, because when you have two programs coming together, some things are gained and some things are lost. It's a quote from Professor Steve Lamy, who I interviewed. He said, some things are gained and some things are lost. And one of the things that they worried about was that CALIS would become less of a priority and outreach in general, just because at that point they were worried that the focus was just more on upping the ranking of the school of POIR, Political Science International Relations. So that's essentially what happened. And even to this day, I think some faculty haven't necessarily been communicated to the reason as to why the two were merged. They felt like SIR was fine by itself and Poli Sci was fine by itself, but that's just where we are right now. There's also a letter that Dornsai put out, I think a year after, trying to clarify and say that we still really value School of International Relations, and the majors are doing well, students are doing well. So there's kind of a back and forth there. And to this day, some faculty are still concerned. But I think the gist of it is that the merger happened, and this is kind of a result of that.
How did you end up deciding the people you interviewed?
So with this kind of article, especially since once I found out that this all tied back to the merger, I felt like I needed to get as many different perspectives as I could. That way, no one was left out. So on the Kalis side, that means I have to talk to the students who are participating in Kalis, of course. Not to mention, of course, there's a petition that was a big part of the article. So talking to TJ, who is one of the people who started up the petition, talking to some of the people, the students who participated in the petition. And there's also a teacher who I was fortunate enough to interview who had participated with TERP, which is the Teaching International Relations program, which is part of Kalis. I got the chance to talk to her. So that was that angle of what the impact is on her and her students from Kalis. And then I talked to the director of Kalis, Teresa, which was a really good conversation. And also the founder of Kalis, just to get that historical angle. I got that from both the director and the founder. The founder is Professor Steve Lamy, who's now professor, I want to say semi-retired. And then, of course, you have to get the school's angle. So I was able to get a statement from a chair of POIR, I believe, just so we can get an explanation and kind of an understanding on their angle of why this whole funding situation even happened. And then from people on Kayla's side, what the program means to them, and just what the whole process of petitioning and worrying about funding was.
Yeah, I feel like you got a really good group of people who are like really passionate about Kalis. I was wondering if there were any perspectives that didn't end up making it into the article that you think might be interesting or helpful to hear. Like, for example, someone in Dornsife who supported the defunding of Kalis, for example, something like that.
I think one important clarification to make first is that the whole funding situation, I think even for me, it took a little while to clarify what exactly was going on in funding. As far as I know, and as far as the director of Kalis knows, the funding initially, so this goes back to the merger, the program was initially in SIR, the merger happens, and so POIR was doing funding, but it was transferred to Dornsife just to handle in the meantime while the merger is going on. But Dornsife intended to transfer responsibility of funding back to POIR. However, Dornsife had cut funding before POIR assumed the funding. So it's not necessarily that, at least from what I heard, it's not necessarily that there was a reason to cut funding. It was just a matter of miscommunication. So I did try and ask a representative from Dornsife, why was this funding cut in the first place? You would think if this program was valued, then they would just make sure that something like this didn't even happen. I didn't get a response for that, so I don't necessarily know myself, and who knows if we'll ever know, but what I can say is that I think they communicated as much as they need to about how much priority they have with Kalis. In terms of other perspectives that I wasn't able to include, just because word count and things like that, I wanted to include more of the student participants of Kalis, their perspective in the article. I heard a lot about how it was valuable to interact with students in the local community and how USC is a bubble, as we all know. I thought that was really important to include, but I didn't end up making it because the angle is more on the funding situation. But they mentioned that, I remember this was one story from TJ, the person who helped organize the petition. And he said that he, and I believe some other students, were invited with a high school class to go on a trip to the aquarium. And he really had a chance to connect with one of the students who was a bit shy in the beginning, but as he talked with the student over time, they became closer. And he just felt that it was really valuable to get that perspective in the local community.
So what do you think we can learn from Kalis's members and the overall program's mission?
Another thing I touched on slightly, but I wish I had more time to touch on, is their hope of revolutionizing social science education. So a lot of something that I heard multiple times was that, you know, if you think about your history class, a lot of the time it's taught by a coach or somebody who really isn't, you know, qualified necessarily to teach social studies. And it's mostly just like reading from a textbook and, you know, answering questions. But what they wanted to do is make it more interactive. That was a big focus. They wanted to kind of bring in multiple aspects. So you're looking at the social aspect, you're looking at the cultural aspect, you're looking at the political aspect of all these different things. So you're trying to really digest complex topics with different analytical frameworks. So I think it's really important to remember that their goal is to give local high schools, middle schools, and elementary schools a better way to interact with social sciences, international relations, and just subjects in school so that they can understand the world around them. That was really important. And also, like I mentioned earlier, that USC students are able to go around and help their local community and really interact with their local community, because USC can be a bubble.
So do you think this story, the situation, Kalis's situation, all of that is worth revisiting at some point? Like, where do you see their road taking them, kind of?
So one thing for sure is that funding is still under negotiations. I was assured that they will reach a deal and find funding, but I mean, you never know. But what I will say for sure is that we will circle back and write an article once that decision has been made. And I also mentioned at the end of the article that they're expanding into middle and elementary schools, and they're also expanding into chess outreach, which is really cool. So I'm sure they're going to, you know, debut new programs, and that would be something that'd be really interesting to look into as time goes on. One of the biggest takeaways for me was that this program was really impactful for a lot of students. They said it was one of the best things they did at USC. And so a lot of the alumni and students who signed the petition said that this program is so important to them and they wanted to know how they could help. So I think that's one of the biggest things to watch in the future.
Mm-hmm. Those are all the questions I had for you, Nathan. Thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks for having me.
This episode was hosted by Kevin Gramling, written by Kevin Gramling. First recap based on the article by Quentin Seegers. Second recap based on the article by Mateo Villalba Mutis. Edited by Thomas Johnson. Produced by Grace Ingram and Christina Shkarbo. General Education is one of three shows on the Daily Trojan Podcast Network. You can find more episodes anywhere you listen to podcasts, as well as our website, dailytrojan.com. Visit the episode description for our links and more information. We hope you're enjoying your summer, Trojans. We'll be back next week.